ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 Reading from the Nectarian Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, text number 62. Bhava Advaitam,
Bhava Advaitam,
Kriya Advaitam,
Kriya Advaitam,
Dravya Advaitam,
Dravya Advaitam,
Tatha,
Tatha,
Atmana,
Atmana,
Vatayan,
Vatayan,
Sva, Anubhutya, Iha, Trin, Svapnan, Dhunute, Muni, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam,
Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam,
Dravyadvaitam, Tathatmana,
Dravyadvaitam, Tathatmana,
Vajayan Svanubhutya,
Vajayan Svanubhutya,
Trim Svapnan Dhunute Muni,
Trim Svapnan Dhunute Muni,
Bhavadvaitam Kriyadvaitam,
Bhavadvaitam Kriyadvaitam,
Dravyadvaitam Tathatmana,
Dravyadvaitam Tathatmana,
Vatayan Svanubhutyeha,
Vatayan Svanubhutyeha,
Trim Svapnan Dhunute Muni,
Trim Svapnan Dhunute Muni,
Bhavadvaitam Kriyadvaitam,
Bhavadvaitam Kriyadvaitam,
Dravyadvaitam Tathatmana,
Dravyadvaitam Tathatmana,
Vatayan Svanubhutyeha,
Vatayan Svanubhutyeha,
Trim Svapnan Dhunute Muni,
Trim Svapnan Dhunute Muni,
Bhava Advaitam,
Bhava Advaitam,
Oneness in one's conception of life.
Kriya Advaitam,
Oneness in activities.
Dravya Advaitam,
Oneness in different paraphernalia. Tata,
as well as
Atmana, of the soul.
Vartayan,
considering.
Sva,
one's own.
Anubhutya,
according to realization.
Iha,
in this material world. Trin, the three. Svapnan,
living conditions.
Wakefulness, dreaming, and sleep.
Dunute,
gives up.
Muni,
the philosopher or speculator. Translation and purport by After considering the oneness of existence, activity, and paraphernalia, and after realizing the self to be different from all actions and reactions, the mental speculator, according to his own realization, gives up the three states of wakefulness, dreaming, and sleep. Purport. The three words, Bhavadvaita, Kriyadvaita, and Dravyadvaita, are explained in the following verses. However, one has to give up all the non-duality of philosophical life in the material world and come to the actual life of reality in the spiritual world in order to attain perfection. Om Jnana Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Of course, this idea of merging into the oneness is a very popular idea nowadays, because you get to become God. They tried to be successful in business and they couldn't make it. They tried to make it in the music world. They started a rock band and they couldn't make it. They tried to make it in sports, you know, get into the Olympics. They couldn't make it. So many ways they tried to be successful, tried to find a beautiful wife, and that didn't work out. So many ways they tried to make it in the material world, and they always failed, but now they have made it. You see, they take this Mayavadi philosophy and they become God. You see? So it is simply another way of trying to be a big man in this material world, actually. This Mayavadi philosophy. And if they really follow the true system, of course you can never pass samana once in your entire life. That excludes practically everyone. But if one actually follows the real pathway, yes, and actually merges in Brahman, actually achieves Brahman realization, still, Aruya Krishchena Param Padam Tada Padantiyado Nadit Ushmanam Priya, they fall down again. Even after so much hard labor, Krishchena, even the word sounds. The word Krishchena, by great struggle. Even saying the word, it just sounds like Krishchena. The word sounds like struggle. Krishchena, by great struggle. Patanti yadho. Bloop. Back into the material ocean again. Just some time flying in the sky of Brahman. You can get in some airplane and you can fly around the sky, but then when your gasoline runs out, you come back to landing. You can go into orbit from some time, but gradually the gravitational pull of the earthly planet will bring you down again. You see. So, unless you can actually get into some other planet's gravitational pull, you must come down to this planet. So because they have not qualified, because they have no regard for the lotus feet of the Lord, they have not been able to get within the gravitational pulls of any of the Vaikuntha planets, you see, Goloka Vrindavan or the other Vaikuntha planets. Therefore, they have to come down to this earthly, this material world again. So, this is, as Prabhupada is pointing out, one has to give up all the non-duality philosophical life in the material world. Come to the actual life of reality in the spiritual world to attain perfection. Of course, sometimes it is called perfection. Sometimes we hear that Brahman realization is perfect, and that Paramatma realization is more perfect, and that Bhagavan realization is most perfect. So it is considered one perfection. There are five types of liberation, and Sayujya Mukti is considered a liberation, a spiritual perfection. But in the ultimate issue, it is rejected. Because there is no regard for Krishna's lotus feet. I mean, if you don't love Krishna's lotus feet, where are you? You're nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. So, how do we develop that love for Krishna's lotus feet? How do we get that regard so we can achieve that perfection? This is the most important question that we should be asking. But instead, what do we ask? Where is the money? Sweeter than honey. Where is the sex life? Where are the girls? You see? Where are the boys? We're interested in so many types of material sense gratification. Why? Because we are conditioned by this material society, which we have been raised up from little babies, conditioned. So we have to become free from that conditioning. Some people say, oh, you Hare Krishnas, you're a brainwashed cult. But no, the material world is a brainwashed cult, actually. We're getting deprogrammed. We're getting liberated from all the conditioning which has been done to us by this material world. This is actually the original natural energy of the living unity. Just like a match has fire within it, You see, it is not artificial imposition when the match becomes lit. That's the dharma of the match, to be burning. You see. So the match, either it is meant to manifest a flame. Either the flame is in an unmanifest state within the before it's been lit, or it's in a manifest state. So we are actually naturally meant to be Krishna conscious. That Krishna consciousness can be covered. But the natural uncovered position, that is love of God, Krishna consciousness. So how do we get out of this state of consciousness? That's the most important thing to know. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastrika, Sadhu Sangha, Dabha Matra, Sarva Siddhi Hari. Actually, the association of the sadhus, that is the most important thing. Whereas, first of all, we have some faith. First step is we have faith, and then we take these sadhus are very nice, these Hare Krishna people are very nice people. Something special about them. I don't know what it is, but there's something about those Hare Krishna people. Very special. So I will associate with them. And then by that association, gradually, monkey see, monkey do. We see, well, they're doing like this, they're doing like that. Let me also try. See what how it... That was my experience. I had several opportunities to meet Prabhupada, actually, back in the 60s, 69. But I wouldn't go, because I thought I was Krishna. I was a Mayavadi. I wouldn't go. Mukundalal Prabhu invited me. I was in Berkeley. I was one of those campus minstrels in the Berkeley campus, playing, singing, and all day the guitar. Srinath Narmaj used to listen to me when he was a student. He really liked my music. He told me, I didn't say it. He said, oh, I used to hear you when I was a student in Berkeley. You were one of those campus minstrels. So Mukundalal Prabhu invited me. You come, our spiritual master is coming tonight. It was like 5-minute walk from where I was living, but I wouldn't go. Because I didn't want anybody to shatter my illusion that I was Krishna, that I was God. And then again, in 1970, I was visiting Berkeley, and the devotees said, oh, we're going to L.A. be a festival in Los Angeles. Prabhupada will be there. You come and just come with us. No. Again, same Mayavadi madness, polluting my intelligence. But then after 2 years of trying to be Krishna and failing miserably in being Krishna, I was down on my knees begging for the and when I got and I came this was back in Austin, Texas now. I was just begging every day, dear God, please guide me how I can be your servant, your perfect servant. So then one Hare Krishna shows up in town, His Holiness Vishnu Janamara. And just by seeing this, seeing his qualities, hearing just the way he spoke and what came through when I heard him. I mean, actually, wasn't imagination, of course. I mean, Prabhupada even confirmed it. Because when we were there in Austin, one day a letter came from Prabhupada. Actually, we opened it up before Vishnu John was there. That was the old system. Well, a letter came from Prabhupada. It didn't matter who it was addressed to. You just open it, and everybody reads it. It could be confidential, and it could cause a lot of trouble, but, we, you know, because it wasn't supposed to be heard by everyone. But that was And we were just so greedy for Prabhupada nectar. Now let it come, open it, and we'll sit down and eat it. So in this letter, Prabhupada said, when I heard you singing in Los Angeles, I was feeling how I was being carried by Kuntha. So I was thinking, wow, yeah, that's right. I'm feeling like that, like that, by hearing you singing. So in this way, just by the sadhu sangha, not even meeting Prabhupada, Prabhupada's Vapu. Just by hearing about Prabhupada, hearing his teaching, seeing the effect that he had had on this Vishnu Janaswami, the amazing person that Vishnu Jana was, by the mercy of Prabhupada, that I was convinced, I'm going to sit under Prabhupada also. So the point is that sadhu sangha inspires us. If somehow we can become attracted to associating with devotees, even if we're contaminated with so many polluted ideas like I'm God, somehow we become addicted and attached to associating with devotees, and that can carry us beyond this material existence. Such a valuable thing. So this is the real meaning of ISKCON, actually. It's not the buildings, it's not the bank account. It's the devotees. It's the loving relationship between the devotees. That's what our movement actually is. When you really get down to it, you see. As long as we have those loving relationships between each other, this movement will always remain strong. No matter what happens, that is the strength of love and trust amongst the devotees. So by this great process of Krishna consciousness, we can gradually come through the stages of bhajana kriya, where we finally become committed, we get initiated, we agree to follow all the regulated principles, and then gradually through that process of stick sadhana bhakti, then anantanavati, all that crud in the heart that was, all that lust, that anger, that greed, it was not enabling us to taste the nectar for which we are anxious at every minute. That gradually goes, just dissipated, like a sun coming up and burning away all the fog. And as that happens more and more, it's the most wonderful thing. And what emerges is the cloud of anartha gradually dissipates. What emerges? You become solid, you become fixed, nishta. You become fixed in devotional service. Why? Because something else is also starting to come down. Ruchi, taste. One develops a very strong taste. Wow. This is incredible taste. Actually, one pure utterance of the Hare Krishna mantra contains more nectar than the universe can even offer. It's like a glob jamun, exploding glob jamun, just oozing out unlimited glob jamun juice. You see. One pure utterance of Hare Krishna. So why are we not tasting it? Because we still have the anartha. So as we make that sincere endeavor, begging for the help of Srila Prabhupada, begging for the help of our Guru Maharaj, begging for the help of the Vaishnavas, begging for the mercy, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, he has given so many nice songs to help us become pure chanters of the name. Aparara Gucci. Shuddha name ruchi kripa bole habe hridaye sanchar kabe habe bolo se dinamar. That intense hankering, that's actually the key. Intensely hankering. When will I get that shuddha? Krishna, Krishna, please bless me. That intense hankering, that's what brings it. intensely hankering for Shivananda. Lower than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. When will my mind attain this quality? Respectful to all, not expecting their honor. When will I taste the name's nectar sublime? Kabe habe bolo sedi nama. When, oh, when will that day be mine? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us a wonderful song, Kabe habe bolo sedi, to help us get that proper frame of mind in which we can really dive into the name. The name is an ocean of nectar, actually. It's an ocean of nectar. If you consider the example of the ocean, there could be a horrible hurricane going on the surface, you see. But if you start going down into the ocean deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, the deeper you go, the less you feel the influence of the hurricane. And finally you get deep enough that there's absolutely no trace at all of that hurricane. So it's like that. You see. We're experiencing this storm of the three modes of nature. But as we start going deep into the ocean of the name, we feel less and less of the effect of the modes of nature. And finally, when you go deep enough, when you come to Shuddhanam, the pure name, then there's no more agitation. Nothing. It's finished. Of course, one may be agitated for pushing forward the Krishna consciousness movement. That is transcendental agitation. But agitation over my sense gratification being impinged upon, you see, that's totally different. So, this is the great mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He has given us this song. That song is so rich with meaning. The final verse he is saying, when kindness to all beings will be appearing, I will set out to preach the name's nectar sublime. When, oh, when will that day be mine? He's hankering for that day. Of course, he's already there, but he's praying on our behalf. He's already there. When will I forget my own, he says, when will I forget my own self-comforting? So that is we must come to that position. We're simply thinking how every thought, word, and deed can be for the benefit of the suffering souls. How I can regulate my mind, my speech, and my activities so that everything I'm doing is helping to push forward this Krishna consciousness movement every second. You see. Of course, we may be afraid to do that. Wow. That was my sense gratification. But actually, Krishna will make sure, he says, those who are exclusively invited to me, you see, to them I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. I like that word, exclusive devotion. Like some jealous lover, you know, she doesn't want her husband associating with any other man. Don't talk to any other woman. You just talk to me only. Don't look at any other woman. You can look at me. Jealous lover. I like that. Exclusive. So actually, and Lord Chaitanya says, I know no one but Krishna is my Lord. He shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or leaves me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So So that sort of exclusive devotion is what Krishna is waiting for. That's why we exist. That's actually why we exist. Not because our parents wanted to have a baby. We exist because Krishna wanted to enjoy a certain type of loving relationship. And he's eternally manifesting an infinite number of living entities, jivas, for the purpose of having a unique type of loving relationship with each and every one of them. So it's not that the jivas are carbon copies, is he? There's some clone, you know, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, some kind of a clone manufacturing operation. No. Krishna wants to have a unique loving relationship in so many varieties of ways. So for each type of loving relationship that he desires to have, he has manifested a particular you see. Each jiva is unique, just like snowflakes. Are there any two snowflakes that are the same? No. Every jiva is unique. So Krishna can enjoy a particular type of relationship with that particular jiva. No other jiva can actually give Krishna that relationship. So the whole point is that we're meant to love Krishna, and there's no substitute. He's not going to be satisfied until we love him fully. Not that somebody else can take our place. Krishna is missing us. We're being missed. We're actually hurting Krishna, causing pain, especially in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're hurting Krishna, causing pain to Krishna by not being situated in our original constitutional relationship with him. So we owe it to Krishna to get back together. He deserves it. He deserves to be served and loved eternally by us. Because he's doing everything for us. We should be doing everything for him also. As soon as we do that, it's so nice position. The fish back in the water. Then we come back to that position. So by the mercy of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, we have this opportunity to become resituated in our original constitutional position as Krishna's servant, and the opportunity to make a spiritual revolution by flooding this world with Prabhupada's books, with holy names, prasadam. What a wonderful opportunity. This is the most exciting moment in history, actually. There's no more exciting moment in history. We're the most fortunate people. I can't imagine any greater fortune than what we have right now, today, December 2nd, 2005. This is the most auspicious, exciting moment. Prabhupada has given us everything. He's given us these books. He's given us deity worship. He's given us each other. He's given us prasadam. He's given us mayapur tathagatam. He's given all the ingredients that can make a spiritual revolution that completely turns history upside down. And he's given us the order also. And that order carries the empowerment to successfully execute the order. You know what Prabhupada told us in Bombay? He said, the world is being managed by drugs and demons. He says, now you make your life successful and you take the management. Prabhupada wants us to lead the world. Can you imagine being a world leader? That's what Prabhupada wants us to be. In Vedic culture, the Brahmins actually lead the entire society. The kings are instructed by the Brahmins how to rule their kingdom. You see? The Brahmins actually are running the whole show by giving expert guidance to the administrators. They actually, the real administrators are actually the Brahmins. They don't do the administrative work. They just train the administrators how to manage perfectly. So this is what Prabhupada has ordered us to do. Take the management. So it's a great opportunity. It's the greatest, the most exciting thing you can imagine. To be spiritual revolutionaries for turning history around. Prabhupada got it started. He says, "Now you assist me, and let's do it. Let's bring it, make a revolution, whole world of Krishna consciousness." So anyway, anybody have any questions? You'll have to speak loudly and clearly because I can't hear very well. Normally I cannot hear very well, and now it's even worse. Any questions?
You were talking about self-absorption before.
About
how people are self-absorbed.
Yeah.
But it would seem that sometimes devotees also get very self-absorbed.
Yeah.
Even in the process of Krishna consciousness, yeah, at the expense of serving other people.
Yes.
So how do you propose that be overcome?
Yes. Well, sometimes we do devotional service with material motives, unfortunately. That's self-absorption. Actually, Prabhupada specifically mentions in his purport that sometimes people do devotional service in exchange for material power. We've even seen in our movement, you know, somebody was tinged with that desire for power. But Prabhupada says then Krishna will take that position away from them. We've seen how it's happened in the history of our movement. How dangerous it is to have any tinge of material desire while we do our service. So how to get free from that? Well, the first thing is we have to realize that such a mentality is a diseased state of mind. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, majagadisha, kame, mama janmani, janmani, shvade, bhavatad, bhakti, rai, tiki, tibai. I don't want women, I don't want followers, I don't want money, I don't even want mukti, I just want bhakti. We have to realize that right now we are still contaminated by, as you said, and it's quoting me, self-absorption. We are contaminated by them. We are, each and every one of us has to understand that I am actually a materialistic rascal, contaminated by lust, anger, and greed. And I am greatly in need of being rectified from this mentality. Every one of us has to realize, I need rectification. I'm not a pure devotee. I'm contaminated. I'm in the process of Krishna consciousness, but I haven't realized the goal yet. You see, I'm contaminated. So we have to learn how to take advantage of the devotee. It's very difficult to see our own faults. Because I think I'm a great devotee. That's our disease. We have a tendency to think, I'm great, everything I say is right, everything I do is right. That is an illusion that we carry around. It's hard to be objective when it comes to seeing your own faults. So that's why we need so much the association of devotees. Because it's easy for us to see the faults in someone else, you see. You can easily see a fault in me that I may not so easily see. So we should be begging the other devotees, please, whatever faults you see in me, please speak up. Tell me. I want to hear what you see that I'm doing wrong. Please tell me, Prabhu. Please be kind upon me. Don't just be polite. Be honest. Tell me, what am I doing? That should be our mood. We should always be very eager for rectification. And even though it's painful to be told that you're wrong and realize, oh my God, what am I doing? To actually admit that you're wrong, sometimes it's hard to do. It's hard because of the ahankar, the false pride. But when we can really get honest and admit and sincerely do everything possible to rectify them, it is called catharsis. It's the most cleansing, empowering experience you could ever have. Where you actually feel how you're advancing, anartana vritti. Otherwise, you're just stuck in bhajana kriya. You see? If a river doesn't flow, it is stagnant. You see? The water that doesn't flow is stagnant. So we have to be always flowing, advancing in Krishna consciousness. We haven't ever become complacent. One Java they said, "Oh, Sankarshan Prabhu, you're such a nice devotee." I said, "Nice is not good enough. I have to be perfect." So we should never think, "Well, I'm a well-respected man around ISKCON, so I'm there. I made it." No, should never feel complacent. Vishnu Janmaraj used to say, "Casual means casualty." I become casual about, laid back, you know, about my Krishna consciousness. Then I'm on the danger of falling down. We should always feel discontented about my present position in spiritual advancement. We should always feel like that. That the Uttama Adhikari, who's actually achieved perfection, he is feeling that way. You see, he doesn't need to feel that way, but he feels that way more intensely than anyone. Any position short of being absolutely pure devotee, Uttama Adhikari, means you have problems, you have contamination. So the point is, we must feel that we are contaminated. Even the Uttama Adhikari feels contaminated. And then we must take shelter of the Vaishnavas, take help from the Vaishnavas. How do I get out of this bewildered state I'm in right now? Self-absorption. Sometimes you hear when it's a fact, you know, don't offend the devotees. Because that will, you know, that's the worst, that's Hati Mata, the mad elephant. Don't offend the devotees. Got to be really careful not to offend the devotees, whatever you do. You know, it's like you have to feel that you're a bull in a china shop, and got to be really careful not to offend the devotees. But that's a negative way of approaching it. See, that's more difficult way. But if you take take a proactive approach of always worshiping the devotees. You see, loving and serving, worshiping the devotees. Always being eager for Vaishnava Sangha. Just like I remember when Pishima, Prabhupada's sister, had just left her body. There was some lecture given in Vrindavan by two of our sannyasis to glorify her qualities. And Prabhupada, not the sannyasis, were explaining her mood always was serving the Vaishnavas. What will you eat? What will you eat? What will you eat? She always wanted to serve the devotees. So we have this attitude of always serving the devotees. Then we automatically not commit offense. Even if there's some devotee I don't get along with well, you know, somehow our personalities don't match. We just don't seem to get along that well. We're better off at a distance from each other a little bit. We have that sometimes. But still, in my mind, I should be thinking, yes, but he has this very nice quality. He has this quality, and we should always look for the good qualities in every other devotee. We should always try to find some good quality that we can worship that quality in that devotee. Sometimes we have a tendency to be envious. Well, this devotee, you know, he's recognized and this and that, but yeah, he's really this fault and that fault. We, out of envy, we try to, you know, minimize some devotees. But that's very bad. That's actually an offense. That blocks our advancement. But what I've realized is this, that if you worship, if you can find the good qualities in all the devotees, learn to become very expert at seeing the good qualities in the other devotees, what will happen is you will automatically inherit those qualities yourself. Whatever good qualities you worship in the other Vaishnavas, those qualities will gradually
by osmosis, spiritual osmosis, you will gradually develop those qualities that you worship in the other devotees. So we should really become expert at appreciating the good qualities of devotees. And that will get us out of self-absorption. And help us get free from that mean, nasty degree, disease, self-absorption. I'm great, but they don't appreciate me. I remember when devotee came to the temple one time, he said, he was doing some service there, came to the Atlanta temple, he said that, you know, I'm getting zero cooperation from the temple president. See, this is not the approach. This is not the way. You know, that I am great and they're not cooperating with me. You see? They're at fault because they don't cooperate with me. Now we have to see how is it, in what way is it my not fully cooperating with the devotees? You see? So I can get over I can heal myself. You know, this selfishness, self-absorption.